leading into April.
That's crazy.
I mean,
it feels like the year just started.
Oh, man. Freightonomics. Welcome to the show. Zach Strickland, head of Freight Market Intelligence. Tony Mulvey, something or another.
It's a good way to put it.
Like, I didn't know this. You just told me before the show, but you have an economics degree.
I do.
Making you a pretty strong, person in the terms of interpreting the economic environment.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that until today. I just kind of looked at you as a guy that knew a lot about a lot of things.
I try to be that. What is the saying? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yep.
Just try to learn a little bit about a lot of things. It goes a lot further than, one thing specific and diving into
it. I actually got straight A's in all of my economics classes.
I did not.
I murdered it on the economics courses. I was a finance major. But I don't know why. It just always made sense to me.
Yeah.
You know what may not make sense to some economists nowadays, though, that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show? The labor market.
Yes.
That is a confusing situation.
Yeah.
There's always an explanation, though. But also we're going to talk about this, how we kind of, we're in this oversupplied freight market. Mm-hmm. And everybody likes to count trucks. trucks.
I think it's most people's favorite way to gauge the freight market. And it's
because there's a lack of other available information.
Yeah.
And I get that. And we're going to dive into that and how to read that. I wrote a Chart of the Week article about it. So that's obviously going to be part of it. But also John Kingston wrote a piece we'll get into later. But first up, Tony,
you want to update the market?
Let's just update the people on the market. So
perfect.
Zach. When you're ready.
All right. In 3, 2, 1.
OTVI slipping actually pretty strongly, but this is not a sign of alarm for me personally. The overall trend is not really disrupted here. If you look at the white line, current OTVI, Outbound Tender Volume Index, measure of demand, truckload demand in the United States, dropped pretty dramatically. But this does tend to happen every year, except for last year, around Good Friday, Easter. People do take this time off. It's not really considered a major holiday, especially in the context of the freight market, but shipping activity does feel the influence of that extra day off. Again, I'm not super concerned about it just yet. Give it a week. Let's talk about it next week and see where that trend line recovers to. April also, it tends to be a slower month in general as well. So even if it doesn't go all the way up, back up to March levels, I'm still not super concerned about our demand side environment from the truckload perspective. Let's go to the next chart, supply. That's going to be the theme of our show today, is the supply side of the equation. Tender rejection rates are really the way I view the end result of that supply and demand curve, where they intercept. If tender rejection rates are high, demand is higher than supply. Tender rejection rates are low, where they are relatively right now. You can see in the white line, sub 4%. That means supply is higher than demand. There's too many trucks, Tony, too many trucks. And we're seeing a little bit of a pickup here. This is probably just due to a little bit of noise around Easter and Good Friday, some capacity coming offline because drivers take vacations too. And so we do tend to see rejection rates jump up around the holiday periods. Let's go to the next chart and look at the NTIL, which is the National Truckload Index, removing fuel surcharges. Spot rates are kind of hovering. They flatline. Look like they bottomed in early March. We might have had a little bit of a mixing issue, but the spot market activity is just not that robust right now. Still full of desperation freight. No signs of tightening yet.
No. So, Zach, I mean, you look at these charts and it basically, to me, it puts this, we're still kind of in this oversupplied market that hasn't changed, and it never changes quickly unless you can see some major demand side shift. And there's just no indication. You start looking at ocean rates, right? Mm-hmm. So looking even further upstream, they're coming down rapidly. It's kind of this indication that demand, I mean, one, they're higher than they were last year, which is kind of expected. Mm-hmm. They kind of bottomed out around this time last year. But you would have thought you maybe see some, not stickiness in the higher rates after the Lunar New Year, but some kind of upward pressure trying to hold rates higher for a longer period of time than what they've been able to do. And it's just not been the case. And I think some of that is the demand side isn't maybe strong enough to one, tighten capacity because the market is where it is. I mean, it's just,
I mean,
you're going to have capacity to leave the market.
Yeah,
and it's substantial.
Let's pull up OTVI. You make a good point here because OTVI chart, if we look at it, and this is not necessarily the right view year over year over year, but if you look, start at the blue line there, that's last year's chart. And you can see this is all up and to the right. Mm-hmm. And we're averaging before the Easter holiday, roughly 9% year over year higher tender volumes. If you're looking at that blue line, so we've hit the bottom from a demand cycle side, and a 9% growth in demand would have triggered one of the worst capacity crunches in the pre-COVID environment.
Yeah.
We 2018, I think we saw a 5% increase in volumes, and that collapsed the market in the summer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 9% year over year volume growth is absolutely robust. And it's just more of a sign that there is just, this is a supply side issue.
Yeah. And the concerns on the supply side is it's not a rapid shift, right? Demand can move a lot faster than changes that happen in capacity. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Those two combined is what moves prices. It's not that, I think that's the key. And I think a lot of it gets talked about because that's the outcome. And that's what a lot of people are looking at.
Yeah.
It's not, it's the outcome of what happens on the supply and demand side dynamics. And that's the part to remember is prices aren't going to change until something fundamentally, I mean, some of it can be driven by psychology and momentum, mm-hmm. but the underlying fundamentals are what's going to drive any substantial changes in rates. Yeah. And it's just, it's not happening. And it doesn't seem, it seems like that tail is almost getting longer as we go out. Like the demand side's okay. Or, I mean, you start looking at CEOs of ocean carriers, like they're looking at peak starting, you know, June, July, mm-hmm. a little earlier than normal. And you go in, it's like, okay, demand side here, again, you said 9%, would typically cripple the truckload market. Like mm-hmm. you would see the fragility in the market.
Yeah, and those are all accepted tenders. They're yeah. not rejected like we've seen in the past.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, if you go back, I mean, pull it back up and you mm-hmm. see how high it was in comparison. I mean, you were talking tender rejections of 20%, yeah. right? That can artificially inflate that number.
The COVID era, 2021 there.
Yeah.
Or yellow.
Like that growth. Yeah. I mean, it or where it is. I mean, a lot of it, again, 20% tender rejection rates are going to push that
yeah.
higher artificially. But I mean, right now you're seeing arguably one of the stronger demand cycles. It's
yeah,
the
history.
How long is capacity going to be
the story for
oversupplied?
Me, the actual question for me from this chart is what happened last year that we didn't yeah. have a dramatic fall in Easter? And you know, it's almost psychological,
yeah.
you know, that you would have to apply like some level of, well, maybe they were just, it was just bare minimum shipping
yeah.
last year. They were getting through those inventories, you know, think about the context. Last year, we were still talking about inventory burn off. This was just like, we just shipped, you know, what we had to ship.
Yeah.
So some of this may have been some pull forward freight that happens before the holidays, before people take spring breaks, et cetera. That happened in a normal year. Last year is kind of like, we got too much anyway, not going to worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, if we miss something
yeah.
for 3-4 days, it's not going to be yeah. the end of the world, right? We have enough to sustain what our current levels. So.
You talked about prices, and I want to pull up one more chart here around that spot versus contract prices that I had. Yeah, there we go. That one that I want to show. So we've got contract average dry van contract rates for loads moving more than 250 miles in the United States in a rate per mile. It's an index. Think about it like a directional index for contract rates. We're about 7-8% down year over year, but you can see that curve of that white line. It's smoothing out. We've kind of pulled the majority of, you know, that cost reduction out of the market. We're still oversupplied. There's no reason for these rates to have stabilized in any sense.
Yeah.
If the carriers, it's an issue of carriers showing some pricing discipline and or exiting.
Yeah.
That we're, you know, basically if you can't exist on these rates, you're falling out of the market. And the spot market, if you can see, it's very noisy, a little bit more volatile because these are day rates. These are things that happen in the near term. It's full of desperation freight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's full of that utilization. Like I've got to get my truck moving. from the asset-based side. It's the brokers are trying to undercut as much as possible to win business and maintain volume. But you can see the spot rate actually is trending up.
Yeah.
Like in the long run, I mean, we're talking about a year over year situation. It's hard to tell that in the near term. Spot rates are very, like I said, volatile, but they're trending up. They've been trending up. And this is telling us, whether we know it or not, the market is in the process of turning.
Yeah, it's all, I don't think that's the question. The question is, when does it actually happen? And that's the part that's probably harder to, we can all see the signs that it's going that way. It's mm-hmm. it's putting the finger on a date and being like, that's when it's turning. Like that, I mean, you could look in a crystal ball and it's just going to be foggy, right? Like it's not going to tell you exactly what, like there's so many nuances to how this, because it's so such a fragmented industry yeah. that you're never going to have clear visibility until something actually does fundamentally change. But I think what's interesting is in a survey that we conducted on the research team, shippers really arguably comfortable looking at, they're not looking at aggressive rate reductions. They don't want it. They're looking at service levels. And that's going to be the name of the game because one, they've already seen most of the cost reduction. Mm-hmm. They've budgeted for cost reductions of 1-4%. So they don't need to go be aggressive because the fun thing about budgets is if you don't use all of it, you lose it the next year, right? So it's almost like a game. It's like things got so overheated and contract rates went so high in that 2022, early 2022, late 2021, that they kind of became a normal, I don't say normal, but it was like, okay, well, now we know that odds are we're going to get some level of cost reduction from here mm-hmm. because the market has started shifting. Look at the way spot rates went. It's like if we get too aggressive, mm-hmm. we're going to lose that budget and then we're risking our service, right? So it's like they were...
They've already saved on their budget.
Yeah, exactly.
They're very confident in their budgets right now. Here's the risk. Let's pull up that chart one more time.
The risk is to the upside.
There's so much inherent risk when the market turns. It may not turn this year. There's no way of knowing that definitively. We can get a sense of it by the direction of these numbers. But if you look at this chart back in the pre-COVID or right when COVID hit, now this is an exaggeration of what probably would happen, but this something similar to this happened before COVID in 2017-18 when we had a crazy produce season run and then Harvey, ELDs, and it was economic stimulus by some tax cuts that were going on right then that all kind of lined up with a perfect storm environment. Now, black swan or not, if you look back on this chart in 2020, you see the spot rate. It went, hit a floor, and then it shot up well above contract rates of like a month later.
Yeah.
And that's how fast things can turn. Mm-hmm. So the closer we get to a market equilibrium, not saying that spot rates are going to shoot up 30% overnight, which they can, but that's the type of environment you have to hedge against at this point.
Yeah.
Because carriers, trucks are leaving. we're still in a very deflationary capacity environment where there's a lot of exits going on. And once that gets close, and then say there is some sort of demand stimulating event, mm-hmm. it's going to be invisible that capacity has hit equilibrium until it happens.
Yeah. The issue, the narrower those mm-hmm. get, right?
Yeah.
The risk is all to one, it's to service because carriers will mm-hmm. quickly realize they have optionality in the market, mm-hmm. pricing power, and they're gonna be like, thanks, but we're gonna go move something that's going to pay us better. It's exactly what happened throughout COVID, right? I mean, they were able to flex that. That's why contract rates actually reacted mm-hmm. rather quickly to spot rates moving higher because shippers knew they were like, oh, we're on the back foot. Like we have no option but to keep pushing these up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Like the same thing will happen and you won't recognize it. And I think shippers are hedging against that. That's why you've seen that curve kind of flatten out and why I think you've seen the gap between contract and spot stay as wide as it has. Because if you look at it back in 2019 into early 2022 or 2020, the spread between the two was like 42. The average was like 42 cents. Now we're at like 70 cents. Yeah. So there's a little more of a buffer to any dramatic changes that happen on the spot market side that kind of gives them a little, okay, we can breathe and sustain, absorb any dramatic shift that happens in a short term. it's the longer term trend that would be the part that would be
concerning. And you don't want to be on the bottom of a carrier's service agreement. No. Like, you don't want to be on the bottom of their list. So if you are getting rates close to the spot market, know that that is a very, very tenuous situation. So let's transition into the supply side of the equation and count some trucks, Tony. So Newsonomics this week, we had a couple of stories, one of them being mine. That wasn't really a story, just me reading data. The other one being John Kingston reporting on ACT and FTR seeing decline in Class 8 orders. Now, according to ACT Research, preliminary data shows that North American Class 8 net orders, which are those trucks that haul those big trailers, the ones you see there in that picture, were 17,300 units in March, which was down 10,400 units from February and 8.7% from a year ago. So we talked about this last week. We kind of touched on it as Class 8 orders seem to be elevated relative to history and out of seasonality. Looks like a little bit of a correction here.
Yep.
You know, the FTR chairman, Eric Starks, in a prepared statement also suggested the decline does not signal the start of a broader downturn. We kind of knew that.
Yeah.
Now, I get the question often about, like, what about Class 8 orders, Zach? And I'm like, don't look at them. They don't mean what you think they mean anymore. Like, before COVID, in that world, like, they did have a decent correlation or connection to some large fleets, large carriers and operators growing and declining over time. That is no longer true in the same sense.
Yeah.
The historical data is very, very challenging to read.
Yeah, because, I mean, some of it is the OEM challenges, right? The purchasing behaviors or ordering behaviors have shifted because from a large truck, large carrier perspective, they don't want to be left in a situation if something happened again that they just face, right? So what do? You continue to order trucks. And I mean, you look at it, you have a chart here and you talked about it in the chart of the week.
Yeah, the Class 8 orders, the truck orders.
Yeah, the truck 8 orders, but also the large carrier fleet, the truck counts at the large fleets.
Yeah, let's pull that one up.
Yeah. They're all down except the ones that were in the acquisition space. It's the one that
you may not have.
We're basically showing carriers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at it, Werner truck count in Q4 down 6.2%. Martin down 8.5% year over year. Covenant down 3.5%. JB Hunt down 3.8%. Yeah. I mean, all these carriers reduced their truck counts over the course of the past year.
Yeah, these are the large publicly traded carriers. So I went through and I looked at all their earnings reports, looked at their tractor count. This is both dedicated and because there actually is a nice little, you know, a lot of these fleets are pushing more trucks into their dedicated unit, obviously. But the total truck counts are down every single one. Knight Swift, obviously an outlier because they bought U.S. Express.
Yeah, and even then, if you take it out, right? Mm-hmm. So it's what, 5,500 trucks higher? That's bought 79, almost 8,000 trucks with U.S. Express. So they're actually down.
Significantly.
So, I mean, they have reduced their fleet.
And then Schneider down there at the bottom bought a 500 truck.
And they're up 400.
Yeah. So let's pull up the Class 8 orders as well here, because we're a data-driven show. We like to talk about facts. The truck order chart that you had before this one, the Class 8, there we go. Class 8 orders. This is not updated to the latest figures because those and John Kingston's report were preliminary for the month of March. They will get revisions, but envision there's a big sharp drop of about 10,000 units here on this chart at the very end. We were talking about this being overheated last week and noticeably so. This thing would have, gone all the way down to, close to that 10,000, just above that 10,000 mark, which is down near a low, seasonally expected low at that, which probably should have happened a month earlier. But you saw the fleet count or the tractor counts for larger fleets. That's what this data biases towards.
Yep.
We have a net decline in overall tractors. All this tells me is that we've got, they actually talked about it in the ACT report, private fleet growth is part of this equation, as well as you've got some LTL carriers that are actually doing better. and then another part of the thing that I called out, they're replenishing their fleets.
Yeah.
Their tractor count ages are too high.
They want younger.
Yeah.
And some of that is, it's moving back to kind of pre-pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Because they dealt with not being able to, they had to go out and either let their fleet age, go buy used equipment, which added to that average age, or wait on the order book and let their fleets get an extra year older or more, right? So they're just trying to get their fleets back to an age that mm-hmm. they're comfortable with. And a lot of the times it's to avoid very expensive maintenance costs.
And maintenance inflation is real.
and a lot of it yeah. was the big inflation portion, or where the big maintenance mm-hmm. expenses come, is once those tractors hit around the 500,000 mile mark, between 500 and 600,000 mile mark. So, I mean, you're talking, what?
Your maintenance costs, they used to, I'm this is outdated in my head, but they used to spike from like 6-7 cents per mile to about 12 to 15 cents per mile. And that's on old, that's pre-COVID inflation.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably, it's mm-hmm. higher than that. Yeah. So, I mean, what they're doing is making the effort to get their fleets back to where they're not having to mm-hmm. deal with that higher maintenance expense and turning their equipment over faster than what before that cost hits.
Yeah. You know what a better indicator is of the current market environment? This may change too at some yeah. point in time due to unforeseen things, but the 3-year-old used truck price,
yes.
4-year-old used truck price. Used truck prices tell you like how willing are people to enter the yeah. trucking market, because this is going to be your owner ops, your smaller fleets that don't have the contracts with the larger OEMs. Yeah. Used truck prices are still falling and have fallen dramatically. We're all the way back down. We're sub where we were at this point in time 5 years ago on used truck prices.
Crazy. And I think of used truck prices, it's great because it's, you can make the argument on both sides of the equation. If it's the supply side mm-hmm. or demand side, like dynamic that's driving the changes in pricing. Yeah. This is being impacted by both, right?
Right.
Demand's not there because you're having what? A net exit.
Mm-hmm.
Really, capacity is leaving the markets. Thus, you have less demand.
Right.
Supply's going up because you have that, right? People are trying to sell this equipment. And fleets, I mean, we just saw it, right? And the truck counts,
yep.
they're moving that older equipment out and selling it to the used equipment market. Mm-hmm. Guess what? That's over. It's becoming an oversupplied market with not enough demand to meet that. Prices go down. Sounds very similar to what's happening in the truckload market.
It's all supply and demand.
In terms of, if I was going to go back and teach an Econ 101 class, transportation would be a great place to make it a real world case, because mm-hmm. it really, as fragmented as the market is, it mm-hmm. makes it almost a perfect competition, or that vacuum that theories and everything is built off of. And it almost works out perfectly that supply and demand drive price.
Yeah.
And now there's a human element of that, which mm-hmm. there is in everything. But guess what?
We get emotional.
Supply and demand are still the set what drive changes in pricing. And mm-hmm. price is what most people actually care about.
Yeah. Let's pull up one more chart here if we have it. The Trucking Authority's chart is the kind of the Yeah. This is a measure, FMCSA data. Carrier Details helps us clean this up a little bit, make it a little bit more, you know, precise. But we had a little bit of a spike. The trend reversed in March, where we saw like a net authority growth for a few weeks. But we've since reversed that trend. We're now coming back down. Everything in red is a decline in total operating authorities, which this index bias is high. It's come down, and we're now down 185 authorities over the past 5 weeks. We're down 906 over the past 6 weeks. So slowed down some exits. Now we're starting to reverse trend. This is a weekly indicator that we look at here. But a few weeks there, it looked like we actually had some growth
yeah.
situation, which was concerning. But now it's still an exit environment. We're still seeing capacity exit this environment. And this is a good indicator of that.
And guess what you've seen this week pop up on FreightWaves.com? More and more bankruptcies and trucking companies ceasing operations.
Greg talks about it as like one of his like anecdotal indicators of the market.
Yeah.
Last report that I think is, it also compounds this, you know, Todd Maiden covers the asset-based carrier side of the equation, the publicly traded ones. That's where I got a lot of that information mm-hmm. from his glorious earnings reports that he reports on. He wrote, truckload carriers forecast cut heading into Q1 prints. We exit Q1 much like we entered it for truckload-related transports, feeling okay about volumes, but bad about pricing and expecting downward EPS revisions for businesses that live on this annual pricing cycle. Thank you, Basco Majors, Susquehanna Financial Group.
Yeah.
That's what his quote was.
And I mean, it's...
demand's fine, but there's just no pricing power.
Well, it's not just pricing power. It's and the EPS for downward revisions, it's the inflation that we've talked about, right? Everything's gone. Everything's more expensive, mm-hmm. right? Equipment, maintenance, fuel, people,
mm-hmm.
like everything is more expensive and pricing is coming down. I mean, you mm-hmm. talked about 7-8%. If volume grew 7-8%, basically offsets it, right? Mm-hmm. You could see revenue numbers be flat to down slightly, maybe even up slightly, depending on how they did on a volume perspective. But you're going to see EPS cuts solely for the fact that the expenses have grown faster than what you've been able to grow, offset volume or revenue-wise.
But it does look like we have bottomed
yep.
for the most part in the pricing
yep.
side of things. So exactly. that's maybe
that's a good news. Thing. Maybe.
Yeah. It's like, I'm out.